Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all, hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2020, the fourth day of Advent. And this program is going to be filled with a lot of hope. Do you get that, yeah, Kathleen?
We'll be discussing hope
and a familiar person named Bob Hope in just a few minutes. But it crossed my mind, and I think I said this yesterday also, but as we were praying through this year and everyone's like, I can't wait for 2021, I always have a default back to what Janet Parshall often says, where she states, these are exciting times. God has raised us up. We're living in these times because of God's foreknowledge, his omnipotence. He could have had you, Marianne, or you, Kathleen, in any generation or whatever, but he chose to, I don't know, I don't know how that all works out. But the fact that you're alive now, that you know the good news message of Jesus, that you have hope, that even during these tough times for many people, we do have an answer, and we do have a destiny and an eternity. And I just keep thinking over and over again, I just don't want to be like the moaners and the groaners and everything is terrible. No, these still are exciting times. God is sovereign. God is good. This is a special holiday season, and we do have that eternal hope and that good news message. And so, like Janet Parshall said, these are exciting times. We get to convey that to people that are hurting. We get to, if you will, be God's healing balm or his hand of care or compassion. And so I just want to remind everyone, and I'm just reminding myself too, that we do have that good news message, and we have an eternity before us that there's going to be no more suffering or pain or heartache. And the fact that we get to walk with Jesus step by step, even during the hard times, you know, we do have a good message. So,
and isn't it amazing when you see what God does?
Mm-hmm.
When you recognize what he's doing, even in the midst of things that seem very dire and hopeless?
Yeah.
That's true.
You see what God is doing if you look.
And we know that biblical mandate or the reference, nothing new under the sun.
Right.
And even in your story that we're going to be reading in a few minutes here, yes, there's the COVID-19, but there's been plagues in the past. There's been people that have suffered. There's been wars. There's been rumors of wars. There's been heartache. There's been loss. This sin-fallen world has experienced many of the things that people are suffering through now. So it's not like these are the worst of times. There's been far worse times.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we've grown complacent, or I don't know if we're so spoiled, or our expectations are that everything should just be great because we do have it so good, where there's still people starving throughout the world. There's injustice. There's atrocities that are going on even today that are far worse than wondering, oh, you know, my heating isn't working or something is wrong with my vehicle.
I think it was Charles Dickens that said that famous phrase, it was the worst of times, it was the best of times. And I think that, you know, when you kind of turn your attention to what you do have, which is what you were saying, if your heat is still on and you still have enough money to pay for it, you know, being grateful for those kinds of things is very powerful. We don't need the huge, you know, Chevrolet or whatever, big car or whatever. We just need those things that make life work. And then you can kind of look around and at all the people that have lost their jobs and don't have a paycheck this Christmas, and let's get out there and help them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think sometimes we get so absorbed in what is happening to us personally.
True.
And so you don't notice those things. And we should.
Yes, count your blessings. That old song, children's song. Yep. Count
one
your many blessings.
One.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absorbed or self-absorbed, and I think we lose perspective on how much we really have. And if you made comparisons, I think all the time, like King Solomon had everything, the richest man, the wealth, and he has nothing compared to what we, I mean, think of like the heat or the air conditioning or the running water or the bathrooms or the appliances and everything that we have. Solomon would marvel at what we have, and he was considered like the most well-to-do and the brightest and had everything.
Well,
and
it's kind of human nature, I think, sadly to say, that when we get something, which is a closet full of clothes or, you know, whatever, we kind of start to take that for granted.
Yeah. And then we make those unfair comparisons.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, if we come out of this Thanksgiving season, well, it should be a season. I think even biblically, I think Paul and others, you know, give thanks.
Yeah.
And again, I say give thanks. I mean, it does change our perspective. And so maybe you're like me. You sometimes just forget how much we really have. Just start thinking through all that you do have. Do you have clothing? Do you have a roof over your head? Most of us have food in our refrigerator or cupboards. Most of us have the ability to drive or go somewhere. Most of us are either employed or receiving a pension or Social Security or monies that, I mean, in times past that wasn't afforded people, whether it's some health care. Yeah, not everyone has everything they need, but if we did a comparison to some people in other countries or other situations that have nothing, we are spoiled beyond belief. And so, I don't know, I think we just have to put things in perspective. And I love when Janet Parshall says, these are exciting times because of the message that we get to carry and proclaim that Jesus Christ has come into the world so that we can be redeemed and have a relationship with God. And it doesn't take away the potential that there's going to be suffering, pain, and heartache, but it does give us a perspective of eternality, of the
not a word, but it works.
Of the everlasting life that we're going to have before us because we know Jesus. And we have the peace that even in the most dire situations, he still will comfort us and care for us and walk through it with us. So.
Well, I know as I was preparing to write this story, I thought about my parents. And when they, during World War II, when they were moved from place to place, they didn't really have a home per se. And at one point, they just had a room that they rented in someone's house in a community.
This was back in the 1940s?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And a long time ago. A very long time ago. Anyway, when I think about places they had to live in the beginning of their marriage, and I compare it to what John and I had, it's amazing. It's amazing. We didn't have to go through the things that they did. And that doesn't even begin to deal with the 20s or the 30s or the 1800s or any of those times. And if those people had not persevered, where would we be?
Yeah, my mother's family kept their milk in a little cove in the river that was near them, the cold running water from the Appalachian Mountains, and that's that was their refrigerator.
That's right. Well, when we lived in Arkansas, we went to an old mansion that had been in a woman's family in our church, and she was showing us all these things, and they had kind of a well. And this is a mansion.
Yeah.
So these people were much more fortunate than some others, but it was a well, and they dropped things down on chains to keep them in the cold water, to keep them cold.
You know, I think that one thing that gets lost, I want us to get to your article. I just want to say one thing that gets lost, I think, is the biblical, very strong directive to give to the poor, to give to people who have less than ourselves, because we can be very grateful for what we've got, and yet look around and see other people who don't have as much.
Right.
And it's so easy to say, well, they're getting along. They've got more than third world countries. No. We're supposed to help people around us who don't have as much.
That's right.
And it's just a biblical directive. It's everywhere in the Bible. And I think it's life-changing, personally, to do that.
It is.
Yeah, I agree.
which brings us to the story of Hope.
Oh, Bob Hope. Okay, yes.
And I mentioned the reference of the 40s because of the World War II,
yes.
And that
yeah.
was the era and some of the things that Bob Hope and others did to minister to the troops and so forth.
Right.
So we appreciate this story,
Well, he
Kathleen.
Brought hope.
I really enjoyed yeah. this article, Kathleen. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks for the memories. He rode trains throughout the western United States, working in the fields and wrangling horses, until it became clear that it was not the kind of life he wanted. Hmm. Returning to college, the young man from southwest Iowa finished his teaching degree and secured a position at a high school in St. Joseph, Missouri. Then came December 7, 1941. Once again, he packed his bags, said goodbye to his family, and rode the train. This time, his destination was Fort Snelling, St. Paul, Minnesota, induction point for more than 300,000 men and women who joined the armed forces during World War II. Here, recruits were sworn in to the U.S. military and given medical examinations and vaccinations, then classified and assigned to units. Most recruits spent little time at Fort Snelling before transfer to other military posts for basic training. Some, however, like this young man, stayed in specialized units such as the military police and military railway services, where soldiers trained with local civilian railroad companies, learning the operation of military railroads. Many went on to provide valuable logistics service in North Africa and Europe. In early February 1941, President Roosevelt's executive order established the United Service Organizations for National Defense, the USO. Six civilian service organizations, the Salvation Army, the Jewish Welfare Board, or JWB, the Young Women's Christians Association, YWCA, the Young Men's Christian Association, YMCA, National Catholic Community Service, NCCS, and the National Travelers Aid Association were combined to oversee and provide recreational activities for the men and women of the United States Armed Services. USO clubs were established in over 3,000 communities in the Western Hemisphere. Each became a home away from home for many military personnel and civilians working in wartime industry. There was a USO club at Fort Snelling, and it was here that the young man from southwest Iowa, later to become my father, met and married a young woman from St. Paul, Minnesota. For many others, like my parents, the USO provided a reminder that they were more than simply cogs in the machine of war. In addition to dances and socials, swimming pools and golfing, Fort Snelling had a movie theater and library. The USO provided all types of athletic equipment, art material, daycare services, dining facilities, dance instruction, and religious information. The primary goal was to boost the morale of service members and provide the facilities and personnel needed to support service members and their families. A well-known division of the USO, but a separate entity, was USO Camp Shows. This popular organization was funded by the USO, but had its own board of directors associated with the entertainment industry. Entertainment units comprising from 1 to 50 people were created, then sent to fill entertainment needs as requested. Entertainers waived pay and working condition requirements to bring live performances to those serving, no matter their location. One of the most popular and well-known entertainers associated with the USO was Bob Hope. beginning in May 1941 and continuing until his final holiday special in 1994, Bob Hope worked tirelessly to support our military.
Wow, that's 53 years.
Yeah.
And he was born in England. Bob Hope was born in England.
Yeah.
His Christmas shows became overwhelmingly popular with military and civilian communities alike. He and his troupe performed for service members in Korea, and after some frequent TV appearances, they began recording shows in front of service members in such places as Iceland, Greenland, Alaska, the Caribbean, the Mediterranean, and the Western Pacific. In 1964, Bob made the first of 9 USO trips to Vietnam.
Hmm.
On each trip, he took along major celebrities and stars such as Anne Margaret, Raquel Welch, Rosie Grier, Neil Armstrong, Sammy Davis Jr., other leading comedians, singers, and dancers. In 1983, Hope spent Christmas with the troops in Beirut. In December 1988, he performed on bases and ships in the Persian Gulf.
And that was a part of maybe many people's Christmas traditions, is to see the Bob Hope special
and to watch that.
Yeah, I remember growing up and watching
that. For sure.
Well, my parents did that. And as I was growing up, I saw that because it was through the USO that they even met.
Yeah. Huh.
The last USO tour, a Bob Hope Christmas show, took place during Operation Desert Shield in 1990. Many in that audience had grandfathers who had seen Hope perform in World War II or Korea, as well as fathers who had seen Hope perform in Vietnam. "It's the best audience," Hope declared in a 1991 Baltimore Sun article. I hope I can be excused a little sentimentality as I look back over 22 of these Christmas trips and remember the millions of servicemen and women who responded to our efforts with warmth, enthusiasm, and affection. Blessed Christmas, everyone.
And that's your saying, Blessed Christmas.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And the byline says, Mahomet, Illinois watercolor artist Kathleen Jennings.
But so much more.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we just can't fit everything in the byline, Mark. Writes the personal stories of Americans who have fought for our freedom. And she can be contacted at kathleen@watchmanonthewall.com. Great article, Kathleen.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure it brings a lot of memories to those of us that have watched many of those shows and then just identify with the love that Bob Hope had for these troops. And many of these locations, we were talking about this off air, these were dangerous situations, Vietnam and other places where he went, but he was fearless. He wanted to support the troops.
Yeah.
Well, and Bob Hope sometimes went by himself to areas that were considered too dangerous for all the troops to go into, or for all the entertainers to go into.
Well, one thing I learned from this, too, I mean, I've heard about the USO all my life. You know, you hear the phrase, the USO. I did not know, I don't want to show my ignorance here, but I just didn't know they had all these things, the art materials, daycare services.
Yes.
Well, that's something. Dance instruction, religious instruction, golfing, pools. I mean, my word. That's something.
And they're still very active. We run a couple of public service announcements about the USO and some of the work they do with even post-traumatic stress disorder and some of the services they provide the unique things that they can do or help and assist with. So, yeah, it seems like it's still a vibrant, good organization.
Yeah.
And anything that we can do to help support our troops and our veterans and those that have served our country in this special way.
That's right.
Well, thank you for a whole nother year of you writing this wonderful column, From Generation to Generation, Character Really Does Matter, a series by Kathleen Jennings. And you have really, really shown and done some great work here, Kathleen.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes.
You know, Kathleen, you've really had a wonderful life.
Oh, That's a transition segue if I've ever heard one.
Oh, yeah. If that, we look you, over. If I look over to page A2, there's a half-page ad, a promotional article. I don't know. It's representative of It's a Wonderful Life, a radio drama adapted from the beloved holiday film put on by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. And we're still designating when. It'll be around Christmas time or the end of the year. We'll put that radio special on the air. It's about 74 minutes.
Wonderful.
It involved, I think, 49 mm-hmm. different cast mm-hmm. members. We produced it right here at the Great News Radio Center at
Lincoln
Square.
You did a great job editing it.
Oh, it was a pleasure. It was wonderful to bring mm-hmm. all these people together and their gifts. And Kate Freeman, what a job she did directing and assisting. And, oh, gosh, there would be too many people to name them one by one. But it was a collective effort of so many people with sound effects and the actors and the rehearsals and the scheduling and all those people that helped out in a myriad of ways. But we'll have that.
Such an accomplishment for everybody.
Yeah, it's really.
So
we
great.
Still have it on CD.
I know. And you can get a CD.
Yeah, you can get a CD. We love giving those away to donors and people that just come by the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square. But be listening for details. We'll be airing it on all 19 of our frequencies.
Well,
so there'll be a lot of new listeners that were unfamiliar with the Great News Radio Theater Troupe.
This ad is the first time we've actually had our little map of our 19 frequencies in the paper.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to do a story in the coming days, maybe January or February, where we'll show everyone a big spread of the 19 frequencies, how we cover all of the middle part of Illinois and into Indiana. And we're excited about the work that God's doing through the Time Life Times and through this radio ministry.
What a super way to end the year with all these people. Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here with us.
Yes.
We love you.
Look forward to tune in for our Christmas music through the end of the year. So right up until midnight on December 31st, we'll have Christmas music. And you're hearing our Christmas Times are coming. That's our opening theme music now. And then right after Christmas, we'd go with Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And then we'll go back to We're Glad You're Here come January 1st. So we're glad you're here. We're glad you're tuned in. Thank you, Kathleen Jennings, joining us. And a cameo appearance from John in the background, the chairman of our radio
Rob's
board.
Rob's out there talking to him.
Oh, Rob's here, too.
Hey, the gang's all here.
Well, all according to John, he's responsible for my wonderful life.
I heard him say that. That was so funny in the background.
That's good.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.